of Steam Steal and Murder, back again with episode 23. We have a smaller cast tonight, and one of the players had a slight volume problem with his microphone. I fixed it as well as I could, but there may be some areas of the recording that come in a little quiet. Nothing new in the mailbag for this week, but as always, if you would like to comment on the game or just let us know that you're listening, shoot us an email at steamstealmurder@gmail.com or leave us feedback on iTunes. And now, episode 23, part 1. Look, the internet's not free.
In a couple of weeks, I'll be on holiday in the hotel I'm at. You get 10 gigs a day free. I don't know how exactly that works, but apparently that's what the website says. So.
What's your normal allotment, like at home?
It's just gone up to, I'm going to 90 gig a month.
Uh-huh.
I'll burn through that, don't worry.
Oh, we Americans scoff at your paltry internet.
Yeah. I would go up to the higher one, but it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Legendary, damn.
What do you pay for your 90 now?
Well, I get it mixed in with my telephone. Actually, 90 is about 130, I think, New Zealand. Which is like 5 cents American or something. I don't know. No, it's not that bad. it's what it'd be, not quite, a bit more than half. So it'd be around, take a rough guess, around 50, 60 American, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. It's good high speed, though.
Yeah, decent. Download a 350 meg file for whatever site, you know, for whatever reason I want to download one in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's $97 US.
Woohoo.
130. No, it's not.
It says current exchange rate, one NZ dollar to US dollars, 0.75.
That's stronger than I remembered.
We're gaining.
No, we're losing.
Yeah, you're losing.
Badly.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, gold went up to $1,300 US. So.
Nick, Bert, can I just say to both of you as former people I have been in games for, I have not, while I appreciated how hard it was to GM, I had obviously forgotten just how difficult it was, as I have been roped into doing it once more. And dear gods, you people have some serious talent to keep it up for long times.
Yeah,
I know some teams and just my the hell out of them.
Yeah, it takes me an hour pretty much for every in game. For out of game, I need to spend at least an hour, and that doesn't count building the world, which is about 30 or 40 hours just sunk costs for me. So.
Yeah, this is pretty much my only hobby for the most part, other than going to the gym. So,
yeah. Only other thing I do is read. So,
fun. Checking on one other person to see if someone else wants to join us. So we will start here shortly. If I get a
stab him in the face.
That's your answer to everything.
No, it's not. Sometimes it's. You know, stab him in the kidneys.
You have to stab him in the back.
Yeah. Or hit their kneecaps with a pole. I mean,
I'm noticing some sort of theme with your characters.
Yeah. I don't do it. It's the characters.
Well, you're modeled in a 1920s detective, right? So
yeah, you know,
that's an American detective in the 1920s.
Yeah, I actually pulled heavily from Glenn Cook's excellent Garrett novels.
Oh, yes, Garrett Jacks. Yeah.
Yep, Garrett Jacks. He has the best names for his novels. Those novels are just superbly named, but yeah.
Fantasy noir.
Fantasy noir. I love noir. Just love it to death. I just got finished watching Key Largo in the Big. Let me see, what else?
Big Sleep.
Yeah, the Big Sleep.
Mm-hmm. I've just been picking up on the Dashiell Hammett novels. I mean, of course, I've seen the movies. A lot of them got turned into, but I've never actually read a Hammett. He's good.
Yeah, he is. His novels are surprisingly brutal. Mm-hmm. When I read them, I mean, he was a the Continental Op was not a good person.
It would appear the freshmen in my house are trying to kill each other again. It would be a daily occurrence.
Yeah. And the his characters were significantly more morally ambiguous in the novels. Although I tried to base this guy off of Philip Marlowe of Raymond
Chandler.
Raymond Chandler, to some extent, but he went more Continental Op, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I managed to pick up a copy of Burning Empires. I didn't realize it was such a small book, but really thick. Have you got a physical copy?
I don't have a physical copy. I have the I bought one off of.
I managed to get mine for $3, a little bit less, like $2.95 on eBay because a person put it up in the wrong category.
Nice. Yeah. Wow, that's a steal.
Mm-hmm.
Does the book look as lovely as the PDF does?
Oh, the book is beautiful. It's about the size of a trade paperback. It's really thick, though. You know, it's like the thickness of like a dictionary, but the format is
the size or of a Robert trade. Jordan novel.
Good bindings, nice hardback, stitched together. It's a beautiful book. And I can see why it's, you know, almost $50 for the book new.
Yeah. I love the Burning Wheel and Burning Empire. I've only had a few quick forays into it, but I love the setting of the Burning Empire with the virus / zombie hordes waiting on the edge of darkness.
It's like it's a well executed mishmash of a bunch of sci-fi tropes, but it's well done. I've read the two of the graphic novels. I think there's three of them out now.
Yeah, I truly do regret that Abel's Game died, because I was going places.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you were going to be a criminal overlord, and I was going to be a brutal mercenary. I need to change my character, Grace. Good lord. Anyways.
So, Jameis, what all are you playing these days?
This obviously. Tuesdays I've got my D&D game, and now about to set up Logan's game.
Woohoo!
Or whatever that happens.
I think he's was pushing really hard to have it starting today.
Apparently he killed you off or something so he could start on Fridays.
Yes, yes. I've had some problems having to go to the hospital, and it's just Fridays are the only weekday that I have any time because of my work, and it's just had to have happened. It has to happen on that game day, so that game's effectively dead. Marcus wants in for a little bit just to do pregame chat and to tell people what his character is going to be up to while he is out this mission. If you want to bring Marcus on,
bleeding to death. Yeah. That's what he's going
to
do.
Stab in the face, right?
In the face. No, I would never do that to another PC.
But another PC might do it to him. Marcus, we've decided you've been stabbed in the face.
That always happens to my characters. It's bitter waters. What are we going to do while he's not here? We're going to stab him in the face.
Yep.
By now, you probably have a stabbing face.
Yes, that's why there's going to be an assassin who attacks you, Guiltblade. I take out all my aggression on you people.
Hey.
You got to admit, the last session of Bitter Waters was fun. I gave you all a reason to beat down on Logan.
It was nice. We actually got to knock him out. He was technically dead.
I'm surprised people actually tried and pulled their punches. I was expecting people would just haul off and try to carve him up.
Well,
yes, Since last game, I heard horror stories of Logan.
We did the trope where the magic sword made him attack his companions, and everybody was waiting for it. It's like, all right,
technically next. Technically, it wasn't magical from looking at it. You described it as more of a technological
effect. Yep.
Well, can you, since the is the game like completely dead and whatever, no
pretty
chance
much,
of survival?
Because Logan's starting his on Fridays now. And...
Okay, can you tell me what the heck of the whole thing with the three guys was?
Which three guys?
The three kings or whatever.
Oh,
the...
no, yeah, it's they were, that area was basically, think of it as like Silicon Valley, and those three people were like the heads of three different developmental firms. And they were working on nuclear armaments. Well, they both made, all three of them had created AIs that decided that, well, we know better than you and started a nuclear proliferation. that area got nuked from orbit.
Yeah. It's the only way to be
Welcome
sure.
Welcome to This Week in Bitter Waters.
Yes. And after other things happened in the campaign world, do you actually have a supernatural influence? It kind of took over the area afterwards, and it became cursed. I'll probably just throw up the plot synopsis of what was going on and what was going to happen, just so people know what the story was that we're interested.
Rip it off and use it on Metapol.
Oh, God. No. Someone's going to invent something. I've come up with something so amazing. I know how to split an atom.
Mm. You already have someone who does that, don't we?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we've already done
that. Has, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's Rathke when you need him.
Yeah, the T-Rays react remarkably like radiation, although they have some very weird powers.
Well, Tesla had the discussion.
Go in rays.
Tesla had a discussion with Drina about the possibility of nuclear power and whether it was a good thing or not.
Sure it is. Why not?
Of course.
It's a good thing. It would lead to an end of war, obviously. At least conventional warfare.
Yes.
Only the French side would win because they've been genetically modified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would essentially lead to an end of conventional warfare until people were genetically modified to not be affected by radiation somehow.
Or
the rise of the cockroach men. Yay.
Other bugs do better than cockroaches. Mythbusters proved it.
Cockroaches are so cool.
And the more complex the anatomy, the less likely you are to survive radiation. That's the problem.
Shall survive.
So what's the plan?
All right, 7:30. We're going to go ahead and start the game by just a quick recap. And we're going to have some people missing this game, so I'm just going to set up what has been happening to them. Abel is going to be gone for an unspecified amount of time. He's going to join us as he's able to. I'm not sure if he's in his last semester, but at any rate, his college is really difficult this semester. But he will be joining us when he can. Today is not one of those. So Drina is on the island. She's going to be spending most of her time with Allard, grokking on things mechanical. So try not to involve her in plots if possible, because I really don't like NPCing a person's PC. But she will still be on the island for plot purposes. Bishop has... has something he's needed to do to this later this evening, but what is Bishop going to be doing on the island?
Enjoying my vacation and hanging out with the daughter of Harris and first making friends, then going for some information, you know. Mm. Probably have one of those moments where I have to information, you know, whatever I can get.
The daughter of my nemesis is my friend?
No.
So you're
fine
with us killing her, right? Good. Thank you. We'll move on.
As long as I get information first.
Actually, you not playing has signed her death warrant this game.
If they fight, remember, Bert, I have an epic shot, and
doesn't like piecing other people's characters, so you won't be there.
Yep, you'll be away.
And I'll take the consequence burned. Knocked out, broken arm, but I will not take any serious permanent consequences or ones that will last a long time, just a few seconds.
You can take the permanent consequence of true love lost in combat.
Oh, God, that's wrong.
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The daughter of my enemy is... Question mark, question mark.
Good times.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can... Well, it's always good to pump people for information.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, was the pun intended when you said Abel will join us as he is able?
Yes. Well, you know, with you not being here tonight, we have to get the puns in where we can. So
no, we don't.
I just let Logos. Perfect timing. I swear you would make the perfect straight man in a comedy thing.
I go for it.
Okay, so some of the things we left yet to be due last time. We have the Agamemnon still sitting in dock. If you wanted to do
it's in dock. That,
it hasn't left yet. It's still in the... Yeah. Actually, as we left last time, Allard was going to give them their marching order saying, get off of my island and take this riffraff back with you as a message to 3R.
We need to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Right. It had not been executed yet. I was leaving that open to let you guys decide what you wanted to do with that. Let's see. Let's just go down through here. John, was there anything in particular your character? And let's see, you had the strange altar that you were looking into.
I think that's about it, really.
What?
I think that's about all he has, really. Mm-hmm. Aside from just general PC affairs.
You know, got to use your glider wings last episode as well.
Yes. I'll have them briefly. Mm-hmm. Then it turned out the one thing he discovered was... Actually, no, that was the thing. The airfields.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the week before we when we decided to say, what the hell, let's go into your plot.
Yes. So that's something to look up. And the other thing is just generally when he has a free moment, he will be researching into the altar and the writings which he was able to decipher.
Oh, am I the only one who can't hear him?
Oh,
I can hear him all right.
Oh, okay.
All right, you can still hear me? Oh, thank God.
I can. I don't know if anyone else can.
It's quiet at times.
Okay. Well, I'll just have to find a way of sellotaping this microphone to me so that I cannot turn away from it. Perhaps I'm under like a sunflower stalk, so, but instead of turning to face the sun, it turns to face my mouth.
Get a wireless headset.
No, they break. That was my fourth one I broke. That's why I've now got a standing mic.
Well, stop breaking them then.
God help it.
I took one of those spring-armed lamps that you find in just about every college person's dorm. I took the lamp part off of it and mounted my microphone on it. So now I have a scissor mic that can be rotated.
Cool.
It works well.
That sounds like an idea.
Jameis, there were a couple of things that you were interested in. Seem to remember something about breaking into people's rooms to check on things at the manor house.
Not that particular night. I was busy doing other things that night. That evening, should say. Afternoon, evening, rest of that day. There's some stuff to do in general, and the rest of the time I'm there. And the other thing I wanted to do, I don't know if you saw it on the in-game communication or not, is get a message through to Tesla.
Yeah.
Yep, message through to Tesla. There's really only two ways you can do that because of how the island's set up. You can send it with somebody on a ship, or you can have Allard broadcast it through the only radio source on the island.
Yeah, I thought there's got to be some other way we know about.
Yeah, because that's also something I wanted to do. Because we now have a translation of the code book, and if we can have Tesla or Tesla's butler act on that quickly, then there might possibly be some windfall.
Mm-hmm. It's not like anyone else knows how to translate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, but we have to assume as soon as he releases those two guys that's going to be one of the first things that they go into full damage control, and if we can...
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to get Tesla to monitor the frequency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know what the best way to get in touch with him very quickly is, however.
Well, on the other hand, Ellard knows about it, and I'm sure he wants to keep an eye on it, so we'll just get him to monitor the frequency for now until we get back to Metapole.
Okay, so is this something that you want to act upon, or is this something you think we could have Tesla's goons go up and round up a couple people in the dead of night?
No, I don't think there's anything like that we can do. I think they're just going to change frequencies on the radio for now.
Right, but there was some very specific orders, like, go here and buy this, you know, Agent X, you know, you set up this account in this name and things like that. And if we can get Tesla to act on, you know, shutting stuff like that down, that can...
Short of heading back to Metropole ourselves, I don't think we're really going to get that happening.
Well, I mean, we could broadcast from Allard's thing to Tesla and inform him. I think that's a horrifically bad choice, however. Because Allard still doesn't know that we're involved with Tesla. He will, because someone spilled the beans to the girl, but we don't know that. So
I do believe that Drina had already spoke about Tesla.
As far as I'm aware of, she claimed that we were adventurers.
Yep.
We were independent contractors.
She did mention that she had done work for Tesla. I don't think she had specifically stated that you were here from Tesla. Exactly. That hasn't happened.
Yeah, so I think that informing him that we are, in fact...
The most obvious thing for us to do would be to grab our nearby submarine and putter it back to Metropole ourselves, which is only a couple of hours away, do stuff there and then pop back.
Yeah, but... I don't want to leave Ward here on the island alone. I don't want to leave Demasi here.
I didn't say all of us go. Just one person needs to go.
Since we have two players out of this game, if Marcus agrees to it, I mean, Bishop and his new lady friend can go back to Metapole, or we can have Drina go back to Metapole. That would be fine.
I would prefer Drina. We have no idea who the lady friend is. She has a badge.
Unfortunately, Drina has a good in-character reason for staying.
Right, but she can pop over at the dead of night and...
pop back again, and she knows how to operate the sub.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, so... we'll hand the code book off to her and have her do that so that... and inform... and go to Tesla's butler rather than Tesla, and or do a Dropbox. I don't really care which. Huh. But also...
yeah, it's not as if people have been working for Tesla have turned out to be on the side of 3R or anything.
No, of course not. You know, everybody who we deal with is absolutely trustworthy. They're
who they say they are. Yes.
Exactly. There have been no plot twists in this campaign so far. It's only been cliched, hackneyed cliches.
That's right. All straightforward. Makes it easy that way.
Yep. I appreciate that, Bert. I'm a slow thinker. I would like to talk with Allard, with Gavin, and Von Hundegaard there, because we need to... I'd like to sort some things out with him.
Okay. Well, that would be a good break-in point to the beginning of this game. If we want to start with that scene, we can do that. Was there anything else that we had dangling out there from last episode? Let's see, we got the people from 3R, all of them going slightly mad, seeing things, some of them dissolved in front of your eyes for no reason.
We still have one of them left of our together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had those two guys. They were going to be kept by Allard.
As pits. No.
And then... yeah, that was it.
Yep, I think that's the...
and the Agamemnon, which we're not going to loot because Allard wants to make any statement.
I have no interest in going over there.
And without you, I wouldn't be able to tell the documents. So if you have no interest, then I can't do
it. Are we not going to send people to have a look at the hull beneath the Agamemnon to see if there was the hatch for a submersible, or if it was lowered over the sides.
What?
Were we not going to send people to have a look at the hull of the Agamemnon to make sure that it was there, how they got the submarine out? We
no.
theorized that they may have just had hatch underneath, and we could send a diving team to have a look.
Yeah, we don't want to go. Well, I don't want to go. And the fact of whether or not they have a hatch there or not is somewhat irrelevant.
It just may make it easier to spot any other vessels in the future.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, can easily be done without violating anybody's rights, because they can simply send divers into the bay to look at the bottom of the ship. It's not like they're boarding it.
That's something we can talk to Allard about, especially if we do want to keep an eye on this thing happening in the future, but it'll be up to Allard to keep track of that rather than us.
Mm-hmm.
It would be useful information in case you come across similar events as well.
Well, we can always get Ella to do it and just tell us what he finds. And if you want to go diving to look at the hole, feel free.
We can roll that into the conversation that you're about to have with Allard. If
yeah, okay.
All right, we'll start there then.
Will we? Can we be in Mr. Allard's below?
Yes, his sanctum, sanctorium. Yes. Drina will still be there at this point, as will Marcus, who I believe is still at least listening in. Before he has to take off, he can be part of this conversation. So, okay, so we're going to take off. It's only been a little time, maybe a few hours since everything resolved last time. You've gotten the couple people into custody. You've found out about the Agamemnon, and Allard has been convinced by Drina that by helping you, he is helping himself.
Yes,
help so, us. So you've all been gathered down here, and this is the first time since the events of the Night Watch house has taken place. So you're all gathered into his underground lab, having this conversation. Oh, other than Allard down here, no one else. His head of security will be here as well.
Mr. Allard, there were a couple things I would like to speak with you about. Number one, I would appreciate it if none of our names were mentioned on any lawsuit, anything that you were going to move ahead with.
Of course, you've brought some serious flaws in our security to this island to my attention, and both myself and I had a security chief here. Appreciate that, and we will make sure that no records are made of your stay here, other than that you were guests. Would that be acceptable?
I just shift my eyes slightly to Miss. No, you're not Freely. What are you calling your character, Gavin? Jameis?
Would your character remember?
probably. I remember Freely. I remember grab her freely, but
I don't know where that came from.
It's one of Abel's.
Yeah, it's one of Abel's porn names for your character.
Jerry Merrick.
Okay, Jerry. Yeah, my eyes just shift slightly over for a nod of approval from you.
I'm looking a bit distracted. I'm writing something in notebook every now and then, sort of obviously thinking about that.
Okay, so I shrug and nod at him that this is fine. Secondarily, I would... before you go ahead with your lawsuit, I think that you might want to contact I don't know how your relationship with the de' Medici family is, but I would suggest that you contact them and make sure that they are fine with going ahead with a lawsuit of this magnitude. This is surely going to be an embarrassment for 3R, and I would not wish to endanger your position here by angering your patrons.
No, of course, the island is technically their island. I'm merely the steward of it, so it will be going through their barristers, of course.
Okay. you might want to contact some people on the quiet and see if this is something that they would be approving of, because if they're not, then floating something out there as large as this would be a tragedy.
Well, no communications using wireless technology can be completely secure. We do have a method of contacting our patrons here. If you would like to make use of this yourself, you're welcome. It's a coded system. The frequency, of course, can be scanned with a good enough radio receiver, but as far as we know, the system hasn't been broken yet.
Speaking of scanning, you might be an idea to keep track of the frequency you picked up on before, in case they send out any urgent messages on that.
Mm-hmm. He nods over at a brass and steel box. It's got a kind of like a dome window on it with a green grid display, and you see a little sine wave going on it. And he said, yeah, we've set this particular unit up here to continually scan that frequency. So far, no more transmission's been made since this has been brought to light to me.
Has he handed the people back to the Agamemnon yet?
No, they're under custody right now.
When you hand them back, there may be some urgent transmissions then, yes.
Benjamin speaks up. Benjamin is the head of security, if you remember. He says, we have them in secure cells currently, waiting their Mr. Allard's say-so with how they're going to be disposed of. They're available for questioning if you like, but neither one of them seem to be in a very stable frame of mind.
Shocking. Okay. Thirdly, Mr. Allard, I remember my dear friend, Miss Drina, talking earlier, and she said that you were very suspicious that there might be something that was happening untowards on your island. I was interested in knowing what was the cause of that suspicion.
Well, my laboratory down here, there are very few that know that it even exists. My immediate family and my head of security here. The rest of the security force don't even know it exists. We've noticed some break-ins, at least what I'm interpreting as break-ins. I've had notes moved. I've had files left in places I don't remember leaving them. I assure you my memory is excellent.
Yes, I remember this. Okay, so you have had personal break-ins into this facility?
I can only interpret it as so. Like I said, access is limited, and I don't remember leaving these things out as I found them.
Who all, you said your immediate family and your head of security have access down here. Is there any caves, networks that can lead from one section of the island into here?
No, that is one of my first concerns when building this location. It's essentially a steel box that's been set into the ground. The walls of the box would have to have been breached if another tunnel was to access it. And, he kind of makes a gesture about the place. It's a rather small area. This is about the size of one floor of the mansion above you. But there aren't that many separate rooms. I mean, so you can actually see the four walls that, create the box that he's talking about.
Go ahead, Mr. Jerry.
There are cameras, though, that monitor who come up and down to here.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all that, Jamis.
There are cameras, though, that monitor who comes access to this place?
There's only one access, which is the elevator shaft there. There's a camera in the elevator, and then as you leave the elevator here and as you enter the elevator above.
And that's caught nothing untoward?
It hasn't.
You are sure that they are not showing you false information, such as a still image instead of a video feed?
Get closer to the mic there again, John. I did hear you. But he says, Nothing that I've been able to detect on the video recordings of it. There's no sudden shifts in the image, no breaks where a new image could be spliced in. I keep a week at a time backed up.
While the idea is unlikely, and I accept that normally this would sound preposterous, we have seen firsthand that some people do not need to exactly enter by normal means to get into an area.
And that is a problem. Until this was brought to my attention, I didn't know this technology existed.
Turning to the other two PCs, did not someone once say that it was possible to contain this reaction with electrical...
I raise my eyebrows.
And Russell, you might.
I have no idea what that was, because that was not my end.
No, it was Nick.
I just raised my eyebrows.
Ms. Ehrbauer, since she's still there, will reflect upon the fact that a Faraday device seems to ground out the potential, the electrical potential of these this strange phenomena.
I shoot her a dirty look.
And yes, I know that this suggestion would normally be rejected out of hand, but if you cannot catch the individual and we cannot find any evidence, it may be a possible precaution if that is the method by which they are using to enter.
Mr. Allard whips out a notebook and a pencil and starts furiously doing some math, and it says,
shoot.
It is a metal container. I suppose it wouldn't be very hard to impose an electrical charge on the walls. And he starts writing down some more math. He's oblivious for a few minutes. Says,
obviously, there is the problem that you may electrocute anyone.
One of many.
You hear him mutter something about, well, we'll have to wear rubber shoes.
Mr. Ward, do you mind if we... assist in this investigation. If we are to assist, we would need some information from you.
He looks over at Mr. Allard and says, as long as Mr. Allard approves it, I'll be happy to help. Mr. Allard just kind of makes the shooing motion with his hands as he's not looking up from his notebook and just says, yes, yes, whatever you need. Ben looks back at you and just nods.
Would it be possible for us to get a map of this area and for you to mark out, delineate the patrol areas from, you know, what time, dates, how regular, irregular they are, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. He walks over to a long filing cabinet, pulls out a drawer, and there's some blueprints of the island, and he pulls out one that's more of a topographical map and lays it down on an empty table, weights down each side with a coffee mug and a little canister of pencils.
Now, if I was wanting to take an aircraft, a Zeppelin, so to speak, and to land it on this island and have it so that the people at the Allard residence wouldn't notice... I assume there's not that many places on the island where that could happen.
He points at the ridge line, which makes up basically the back of the crescent. Because we have people scanning the air through these watchtowers, and he points out four towers along the crescent of the island, as well as recording air flight traffic from the nearby islands, of course. It's not impossible to do such a thing, but it would have to be coming in very low in the sky. And really, and he points out this, the backbone of the crescent, this would be the most likely spot as the mist gathers at the top of the mountain peaks, making visible observation very difficult. If someone were a good enough pilot to keep very close to the mountain line, it's possible. Treacherous, but possible.
Now, I point to there. Are there any easy in and out? I'm sorry, access and egress roads from this location?
No. There's no beaten trail to those mountains. At one point, a survey was made of them for potential mineral resources. Nothing was found in the mountains. There may be an old logging trail, but I'm sure it's been reclaimed by the forest at this point. That was over a decade ago. We don't make regular patrols there for that very reason, and he kind of points out a band. This is as close as our patrols go, horseback. And this is the last of the regularly kept roads to this point, and it's a dirt road. We maintain it specifically for our security route. It's also a good jogging trail that some people use. But he points out the closest road that's still maintained to the mountains is a good 2 miles from the mountain edge. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's dense forest between where the road lets off the mountain.
Okay. I mark down location, get directions, landmarks, et cetera, how long, terrain, just do basic. If I wanted to go here, how long would it take?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stuff, what kind of supplies would I need, that kind of stuff.
Well, the first thing that you think of is if you sent an initial force here, a few men, maybe 2 to 5 men, mm-hmm. It would take them quite a while to blaze a path to the road, mm-hmm. especially if they're having to carry equipment. Men just coming off the mountains themselves, if they're in good shape, could definitely do it. It would wouldn't take a lot of trail breaking since you did warfare in the jungles, mm-hmm. so you've got personal, you don't think it would be difficult. They would just have to be pretty, physically competent men, and they couldn't carry a lot unless they sent out an initial force to actually blaze a trail and then end somewhere close to the road but not join the road, so you couldn't see it from the road.
Right. And you could also, this, it would also be an excellent route to get reinforcements and such. And if you were using that area for a drop depot, you could simply carry it by airship back and forth. And
you could, if someone had cleared out if there's a flat enough area on the mountain ridge itself, yeah. That someone had pre-scouted out, you certainly could land a Zeppelin there, a small one.
Can I point out the areas that I saw from air?
Okay, you circle them out on the map. A few of them, Ken tells you that these are known about, and we do patrol these areas. They were originally used by smugglers in the area. We keep them at least semi-maintained for our own uses now and then when we do test flies of airplanes, new technologies on the island, and we need places to land if something goes wrong. So these are known of. Then he circles one that you pointed out. This one, I haven't seen.
And how far away is it from an area where you could... from the backbone.
It's actually it's within a few miles of the backbone, but it's actually very near the coast, where there's a series of caves. From previously asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Patrick actually rubs his head a little and says, "It is always with around caves, isn't it?"
No.
They are very convenient.
Also, something I wanted to talk to you about. I know there is a gentleman on the island who is looking for his father. I believe that we actually succeeded in finding the original pirates or smugglers main base here. If we could do a search for the body, we might be able to give that young man some possible relief.
David would be very glad to know that. I'll pass that along to him as well.
Unless, of course, he's been using this opportunity to scout caves.
Exactly. So that is why I suggested that we try to find the body rather than he tries to find the body.
Mm. Maybe it's best that we don't tell him just yet, then. I'm sure that given his past fervor at this, he's going to want to be part of that if he's told. Mm. And I can't come up with a good reason as to explain why he couldn't be. He's a very experienced caver.
I bet he is.
Do you think somehow David is involved in this? I've known the Marleys for quite some time. David was spent a lot of time here in his early college years.
I have no good cause to suspect him, but I have no good cause to clear him. So,
in any event, David's not one of the people that knew about this facility.
Yes.
This does unfortunately raise up one point that we need to consider. Of we don't know who on the island might be or might not have other nefarious purposes of being here. As such, I'll cut to the point and be blunt. We may need to search their rooms.
That's a little... Of course, I can have it be so, but I'd really... Well, there's only one guest here that I would hesitate at giving you the okay. The banker, I believe you met him at our last feast.
Mr. Seems quite nice.
Yeah. Perhaps I could get him away from his rooms for several hours. There's been something he's been wanting to talk to me about, some sort of insurance. I can probably keep him occupied for at least an hour. Will that be enough time?
More than enough, it should be.
Well, even if you don't want that, perhaps during a dinner or breakfast, if he comes down for that, you can get it as alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll arrange that. Anything else you need of me? He's mumbling to himself, rubber gloves. I think we'll need rubber gloves as well.
Now, Marley's. And could we have a possible blackout of the cameras when we do this? I would prefer it not be seen and had video evidence.
Of course, but I'm going to have to ask for your word of honor here that... Well, you see, Mr. Etain is a world-class banker, and he may have sensitive information on him as to his industry. I certainly wouldn't want to cause a problem in the banking industry if you were to make such documents available. I'm asking on your word of honor that if it does not pertain to what we're finding here, that you leave it be and you take nothing from his room.
I nod my head. I have no head for finance, I'm afraid. I'm just a simple detective.
With several knives.
And it is, unfortunately, I need to mention, it's not just, of course, Mr. Tain's room that we need to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear.
Is Miss Renwick also down here?
No, she's not.
It would also include Miss Renwick, Mr.
Of course, anyone in the family, there's no problem there. I have no problem with that. Mr. Etain is the only one that I fear might cause an incident if you were caught in the rooms. Everyone else, he waves his hands. It will be fine.
Okay.
If you were to search David's room, if you don't want him to know, I can also have a chat with him to get him away from the room, but I'm sure if you simply ask that he would allow.
I'm sure he would. However, during dinner, I would suspect would be the best time for for myself and my colleague to make egress into their rooms.
I'm sure that myself or my wife can come up with a suitable speech to keep people there a bit longer if needed.
Last I saw, dinner was a 3-hour affair at least. If I cannot get in and out in 3 hours.
Well, the welcoming dinner is more of an event. After that, it's more of an informal occasion. But as I said, I'm sure I can make some diversion to keep people there longer.
Hopefully. No files missing. Now, do you have dates that the files were moved and the notes, were they correlated on any particular subject, such as airplane engines, maybe?
Well, only myself and Benjamin here even know about it. I kept a log, and he rifles through his lab coat and pulls out another notebook. He hands it over to you. Every suspicious circumstance I found in the lab is logged in here, and the notes weren't always of the same variety. I work on many different things, of course. They don't seem to coincide with any one project of mine or any one particular field of interest.
Even no unifying field, I pass the notebook on to the person who can read, because I have problem reading.
Probably the best person in the room to actually look at it
would be Von Hundergarten. Yes. Or, no, I'll pass it to Freely or Jerry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jerry is basically just a logbook of dates and times where he's noted things out of place. And he's got it enumerated where he knows for certain that something was not left out by him or anyone else authorized to be in the room. In places he's marked, well, it's possible I may have left it here, or Marjorie may have left it here, but unlikely. So he's got them organized that way. It looks like 6 different occasions he's found something out of place in the room. And there are side notes that he says that Benjamin has confirmed that these people were seen in other places at this time. So during the 6 episodes, Benjamin's confirmed that most of the people that knew about this establishment were seen and verified elsewhere. And Benjamin has actually also given information that where his own movements could be verified by this and this such person. The only people that have not been noted as basically having good alibis, his wife, who often just stays in her room playing the violin, etc., doesn't often have someone there with her, although her personal servant is mentioned several times, like could be confirmed by the such and such servant. His daughter is not often on the island, so no confirmation there other than, you know, should be at college, etc., not, you know, hasn't visited, wasn't here this week, etc.
Now, the robots, are they controlled by some kind of wireless network?
They can be, but they're built for verbal recognition. Currently, I only enable the wireless ability when I need it. It's not something that's always on. It can only be switched on manually, also through voice verification.
Now, who all has access?
Only myself. Okay. No one else really has need of use of the.
Okay,
so the intelligent Iron Man.
Could you just, as a paranoid fancy, just check and make sure that is still the case?
Certainly, this will take a few moments, and he goes off to check on the robots.
Ms. Ward, how are you doing today?
Who you were addressing, I'm sorry, his wife?
No, Mr. Ward.
Oh, Mr. Ward, Benjamin, okay. Just fine until I heard about the severe amount of security breaches that have been going on the island. He looks a little chagrined.
Does he look the appropriate amount of... Can I use empathy to...
Give me an empathy roll, yes. Go right ahead.
On this guy who has a huge amount of... It's a 5.
Yeah, you think, I mean, either he's a very good actor or he's displaying what you would... He looks like an officer that has failed his commanding officer. He yes. looks very, you know, he's determined to make it right, but you can tell he also looks like he has been doing his duty poorly.
Mm-hmm. So I do know he's a very good actor, but then again... Don't know how far that goes. Okay. No, I don't want to try to confront him now. I have no evidence. Unless Mr. Hundegaard or Mr. Gaven has something for him.
Tomorrow, I have some other things I need to attend to, but tomorrow we may wish to attempt to, as it were, break into this place just to see how secure it is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are you talking about this in front of Benjamin, who is...
Yep.
Okay, good enough.
Well, I was planning on saying in front of Benjamin, because he'd have to know that we're... I'm not going to try and break in without him knowing it's unfunny afterwards.
He looks very interested in that and says, I would be interested to see the results of that. I would be glad to not tell my men so that their normal routes of security are maintained as is, as well as their normal level of interest, so that it would be closer to a normal day's...
Can we at least ensure that we do this before Herr Allied electrocutes us all?
That was your suggestion. Yours. All right.
Yes, I did not think we would have to break into this place, though.
All right. I think we have enough to go off on and... do some stuff.
I also understand that you had concerns, Mr. Marlow, about the handing over to the investigation of the Armageddon before Agamemnon before it left. Either you or Van Hundegaard wanted to investigate the Agamemnon more?
I wouldn't know what I was looking for. I mean, I'm not a spy. I'm just a detective. Ward. A simple country detective.
Mr. Ward.
But I gather there was some discussion of at least investigating the hull.
Yes. I wondered if Herr Ward could send divers to have a look at the hull.
Well, currently no one aboard the Agamemnon has been apprised of the situation. We could certainly send out hull divers just under routine inspection if you would like that to happen.
It could prove useful if that is how they are lowering up the submersible, and it would prove as a very effective screening method for future ships, although I doubt that they will be that obvious if this is discovered.
If you'll allow me, he points over to the radio unit. I can have that confirmed now for us.
Let's see. I think that
he goes over to the radio unit and turns some dials and Allard to dock. Allard to dock. And he's got a single earpiece put up to his ear, and he's holding the microphone in front of him. He seems to nod at something he's saying. He's like, yes. I wonder if you could manage a routine hull inspection. Yes, Doc, he pulls out a notebook. Doc 3B, designation Agamemnon. Yeah, just have them do a thorough hull inspection. Make sure nothing was damaged as they docked with us. Right. No need to alert the crew. Just routine inspection and report back to me. Thank you. Quick. All right, they'll get right on that, and we'll hear from them when They have information for us.
Subtle.
Oh, okay.
Allard comes also, back to the room about this time and just says, robots all look good. Nothing's been tampered with. And they're all still set for verbal recognition only.
Do you use them as guard dogs in this room?
Assistants. Since I and Ken here has agreed that we wanted to limit the amount of people that have access to this room, I do occasionally need aid. And as we can't be certain of anyone we can get down here other than immediate family, I use them as lab assistants.
So they are not also a method of security?
They have that ability, but that's not particularly what they're programmed for. They have, he picks one up, they seem to be quite heavy, he grunts as he lays one on the desk, and he shows you the arm articulation in one. They have here various tools. One of them includes a very high-powered boring device. He demonstrates the laser beam that shoots out of the robot's arm.
I back away quickly.
Yes. They can be employed for security purposes, but it's not their original intent. They do have a few commands to protect myself, of course.
Hmm. All right, well...
The robot swivels its red, gleaming eyes to look at you.
How do you get past the fact that they look soulless?
They're machines. Would you consider your coffee machine soulless? They perform a function.
It has eyes and is looking at me. My coffee machine doesn't look at me. Bloodthirsty eyes.
Do not paintings look at you when you go through an art gallery?
Oh, if you ever bring in an insanity mechanic, have one of the insanities be, your coffee pot is looking at me!
Yes.
Oh no, tag in with that as a temporary aspect.
That'd be awesome. All right.
Suppose the eyes could be blue or green. Simply red for uses of the infrared detection, of course. But I suppose they do have something of a menacing cast. Perhaps something. If I remove this ridge line that looks like an eyebrow.
Yes, and it's waggling. It almost looks like it's crying. Oh. Anyways.
It's promising a stab in the face, you can tell.
Yeah. What's the stab me so bad? Okay, so we have a lot of stuff to investigate in. Let's hop to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that the showing of the armature and everything takes several minutes there, and the radio set goes off. Oh, there's a light that flashes on it, and security chief goes over, answers it, and says, "Yes, what have you found?" "Oh, that's interesting. No reason to tell the captain or crew. Just log it, get the men to sign off for it as to who was on the diving expedition." "Right. Yeah, just log it. Not a problem." And he signs off. And he turns back to you and says, "There seems to be a harness that has been welded to the bottom of the Agamemnon. Looks like there might be an airlock access as well."
Rather cruder than I thought it would be, but I'm not expert in this matter.
Subtle.
Yes. Now, a couple other questions I had forgotten to ask. Would it be possible, do you have any video camera footage of one of the days of the incidences where stuff was moved so that we can view that and does a small amount, maybe 5 to 10 men, go missing or simply walk off the job every, couple of weeks or something of that nature?
Every month or so, we do routinely rotate crew in and out. That's as normal. I can have the dock master check the logs to see if there was anything that looked suspicious out of the ordinary that way. As far as the video cameras, as I said, the only thing that's covered in this room is the elevator itself. I can provide you with those logs for the past week. He asked for his notebook back from you there, Gavin. I'll give it back. I just want to confirm something. And unfortunately, nothing has been moved in the last week, so the videotape will likely not show anything of interest.
Okay. All right. So you don't keep those days special. No problem.
Actually, his security chief kind of clears his throat and says, actually, sir, after you mentioned the second time that something had moved the room, I took the liberty of installing a camera. Ken narrows his eyes. Well, for security purposes, of course. He walks over to basically a steel locker, and it opens a door, and there's a running machine in there, and he pops out a tape and says, I believe, cross-referencing with your notebook here, I've got at least 3 days recorded that coincide with something that's been moved. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary myself, but he pops out the gold reel. If you remember, the analytical engines use like a cylinder to record with. He pops out the cylinder and hands it over to you and says, if you'd like to look at them yourself.
Yeah, you might. There might be something you wouldn't know about. I would, if you have a facility here where I could view these.
He points you over to a bank of machines.
Okay. I'd like to view these until it was time for us to go and loot some people's rooms.
All right. Is everybody staying to view the video, or are people going their own ways?
I don't believe you need me to help view the video. I have other matters to attend to at the moment, and also, I do not plan on, as it were, interrupting anyone's room until tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
I do not think that I would be of much assistance to you, Mr. Marlowe.
Mr. Allard, I just want you to know I have very reasonable rates. $50 a day plus expenses. And then if I get shot at, it goes up to $100 a day.
Leave a card with my security chief here. I'm sure that the opportunity arises. I can make use of your talents.
Mm-hmm. I pass a card over. It's crumpled and probably has a couple coffee stains on it, some nicotine.
And he ponders for a moment and says, as a matter of fact, as this seems to be part of an ongoing investigation of yours currently, but the information is also something I very much would like to know the results of. Consider yourself on the payroll for now.
Excellent.
Just so that I also have a stake in what you find, you understand?
No problem. Anything I find, I will go ahead and report it to you, sir.
All right. On the tape, Ben shows you how to put in the cylinder and how to access the dates. And he pulls out another notebook and looks through it and says, you should find that Mr. Allard himself were here those 3 days in particular, most of the day. His wife showed up at one point. I'm on the screen at one point, and that's all.
Bert, what I want to be looking for is kind of wavy breaks in the in the light, like the light is being bent around something or possibly someone.
Okay, and like something's passed in front of a light source that you can't see, but it's kind of moved the light around some.
Yeah, and so, you know, papers being inexplicably, very subtly moved and things like that. If someone was, say, invisible.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone else also taking a look at this?
Yes, I don't have any other duties to attend to, and there's no
point. Well, I'm going to ask anyone who's watching the tape and looking for these things, give me an investigation roll.
Considering my other thing is supposed to take time, I will not be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That gives me a 6.
Nice.
And I only have a 3.
Okay. All right. The only thing that you see is odd. I mean, you do have some shifting shadows in the background, but Benjamin points out this is likely the robots moving around the room. If you look at where the light's disturbed, it's kind of lower to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The video doesn't, since the robots are really, they only come up to about knee height, you don't always see them in frame, but you know, you do catch a few frames here and there where they are fully in view.
Mm-hmm.
But Benjamin says, I did note the shifting shadows here, as you have also noted, but I was more inclined at the time to think they were the robots moving about the room. Of course, the information that you've given us here, I didn't have then.
Yeah, I don't tell anyone about that, what I'm looking at.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, he points them out. He points out that there's some, yeah. I think these are the robots here. Mm-hmm. With a six, the other thing that you kind of notice is that his wife mm-hmm. looks furtive when she's in the room. Like she's glancing around at the corners, like she's expecting or checking to see if she's being observed. Mm-hmm. Like you see her actually cross the room and like pick something up off the desk, look underneath it, and then put it back down before looking. She takes a long time to look what's on Allard's desk. She picks up some papers, kind of looks through it some. She makes some notations on the paper itself and lays it back down on the desk. And here Ben said, this isn't what Ken found was moved. His wife routinely goes over expenses for things that Ken needs for his projects. She's probably notating there whether or not it would be approved by the Medicis.
Mm-hmm. That is probably what she is looking at.
Just to confirm, though, are the papers shown there actually still around? Or have they...
Oh. Ah!
What was that?
I'm sorry, I shifted my my head and it brushed against my shirt. My apologies.
Earthquake! All right. Kenneth takes a look at the paper that's on the screen and says, I can pull them out. Goes to filing cabinet and brings it back and says, Yeah, right here. My wife had notated that this is an expense that would be approved. He matches it up to what you can see on the screen, and it looks like the same paper.
Oh, that confirms that line of thought, then.
And also with a six, the other thing that you find unusual that Chief Security, Ben doesn't notice, is that it looks like she's talking in the room. There's nobody else in the room, and unfortunately it's video only, no audio. Hello?
That's something Marlo would notice alone. And
I'm sorry, I'm here. I was talking to myself, apparently, and not to the rest of... Okay, that's interesting. And we just don't have a good enough view of the papers to see them shift. But there is nobody. There is very clearly nobody here.
And the camera doesn't actually fill all the room, so you can't say that. But during the time that the video is running, you don't see a shadow cast or anyone else moving in the background that you could tell, or nor does anyone else enter the camera's viewing distance other than an occasional robot going by.
And okay, now
can I just, are you disclosing this information to the room in general?
This is what he has seen. Hasn't said anything to anyone else yet.
No, not at this time. Maybe okay. Later. And now, oh, yeah, sure, why not? I'll go ahead and mention what I see.
Just a thought. You cannot see anything.
She's crazy!
Ben says she's not often prone to speak to herself, so that is
interesting. These machines are rigged to follow sound, are they not? They go by voice command. Was that not what you said?
That's his voice command.
Yes, so, but that just means they take in audio. They take in audio. Can they not record audio?
Yes, I often use them as a dictation machines. Says
perhaps she could have been dictating what she found and retrieved. I know this would be a horrible line of suspicion, and I do not blame you if you accuse me of such a thing, but it is a possibility that she is dictating information that she finds, and then it is recovered later from the machines, which are not featured in security cameras.
Huh. The robot should only respond to myself. He picks one off the floor again, grunts as he lays it on the table. Let me check.
Does it make a pathetic little scream as he opens up its innards?
No, but you can swear the head swivels to stare at you. All right, Mr. Allard hooks a couple of cables up to it, and he other end he hooks up to one of these oscilloscopes on the desk with the bubble dome window up front, and he starts playing around and says, huh, there are two voice patterns in here. He fiddles around with it some more, and you see the waveform move around on the screen, and he picks up a microphone and speaks into it, and you notice those two waveforms kind of match. They're very similar. And then he brings up another waveform. He says, this is the one that I don't know about. Comes up on the screen, and he speaks into it, and comparing the two, they're nothing alike. He says, unfortunately, we would have to have a voice comparison to find out who this actually belongs to.
If you have a recording device which is small enough, or of some design, then I guess that I could engage in conversation with various people around the household.
Well, recording devices are briefcase size.
I am aware that they are normally very bulky, but surely a genius of your stature can manage to think of some way of, even if it is just the receiving end that I take around. Is that possible? Oh, of course.
Sure, like, yes, we could do that. We're looking for a better than 80% match to this waveform here. If the recording is good enough and loud enough, we should be able to match it up.
Unless anyone else wishes to engage in this line of thought, then I shall begin on that.
I'm responding to something from Jameis here.
Yeah, I'm not there, so I'm not asking out loud. I'm just curious. It's a really loud keyboard.
Yes, yes it is. All right, there we go.
Okay. Oh, me.
Oh, wow. Roll time, roll, baby.
All right. Okay, so what is the agenda then? You have found that the robots apparently will respond to one other voice print.
I mean, can we tell something about it? Male, female?
Unfortunately, no. The only thing he has is a comparative sine wave, and it would have to match with that. He can tell you that the voice, looking at the pitch, it's a high pitched voice or a higher pitched voice. Could be male, could be female, but it would not be somebody with a baritone voice.
I look at Van Hundegaard suspiciously.
If you wish, I can speak into this. I am well aware of the fact that you are suspicious of almost everyone, as you say, almost every day.
I'm not suspicious of myself.
Well, Alan does say, well, it's a good enough place to start. He turns on the microphone and just says, well, each of you please speak a word or a phrase into this microphone.
My name is Aldrich von Hundegaard.
Yep. Your voice is not even a 40% match. It's too low.
Major Raymond Marlowe.
Same thing. You're no better than 40%. Still too low. Ben also does it. He's a slightly closer match, but also not even 50%. Drina will speak into it, and she gets a 60% match, but still not good enough for it to respond. Jameis, I assume Gavin does say something as well.
Well, I don't know. I thought I was going back to my room to
wait. Oh, that's right. Thing. You've gone to your room at this point. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go with Mr. Jerry, and you do what you do, and I'll go and talk to Mr. Jerry, and just we'll see.
I shall see you around the grounds, no doubt. Skulking as usual.
I don't skulk. People who skulk get caught. I boldly walk where I wish to go, and people tend to not question people who do that.
Just carry a clipboard with you. No one no one questions a guy with a clipboard.
Exactly. All right. Well, yeah, I'll go and just talk with Jerry, let him know what we found out. And
So Mr. Allard is going to spend the rest of the evening down here. He wants to see what he can do about turning the room into a Faraday cage. Just in case.
Have you forgotten your daughter?
Well, I suppose we could get a sampling to see.
I thought you wanted to confront her.
Oh, of course. Perhaps this is more important. He looks a little, you know, he rearranges his collar a little bit. It's like, that can wait a bit, I think. This is more important.
I think it may be wiser to delay electrifying the room until everyone is made aware of this fact.
Oh, of course. I just want to see if it's possible, of course. You can already see he's inching his hand towards a wrench.
I slowly but surely back out of the room quickly.
I'll make sure that nothing is on when you need access down here, of course.
Talk to you later!
and the recording device?
Sure, he kind of points at another workbench and says, the bronzest box there. Two buttons, stop and start and stop.
Hey, go and find the device, and how big is it, please?
It's about the size of, it fits in your palm. It's a little on the hefty side, as the container is made of brass. It's a brick about, think about the largest cell phone you've seen lately, about double that size.
Then I shall begin engaging in social intercourse.
It's got a wire reel in it, and that's what it records onto. So you got a bit of wire that it magnetizes for the recording. He tells you that it's got about 2 hours worth of recording time. Who'd we lose?
And
Jameis.
And how long will it? At what distances will it record clearly?
It record very well. Within 4 feet. Of course, the closer you are, the louder the recording will be.
And I am guessing that it will be distorted if it is hidden within a pocket or.
Through clothing, it records pretty well, actually. I often leave it in my pocket as I walk about and need to make notes to myself. It picks it up pretty clearly.
I do not suppose that I could acquire such a device. It would be easier than having to stop for a notebook.
I'll have to see what the patent obligation on that is. If it's something that's already due to be released to the market, I don't see a problem gifting you with one.
Oh, no, of course I would... wish to reimburse you for the trouble.
He nods, makes the shooing motion to you as he picks up a spanner and then
I leave as hastily as I can before he starts tampering with wires.
Yes, he has this look of utter glee on his face as he's about to tackle a new project.
Why do I get the feeling that when I get into the lift there'll be a loud cackling sound?
The robots cower in fear.
Hello. I am not on Skype right now. Please leave a message.
The Skype robot is joining us for this game, apparently.
Oh, God.
Seems Jameis is having some difficulty.
Right. Hello again.
Oh.
Hello.
You really managed to get that Skype robot to mimic your voice.
Oh, there, my whole computer just locked up entirely.
So, and then I just go up to Jerry's room and say him blah.
It only works if I was here to hear the original pre-blah blah.
Well, it was basically everything. You missed nothing.
Bert, can you kill Gavin, please?
Can I what?
Kill Gavin.
Oh, yes. Hold on.
I suggest you stab him in the face for no particular reason.
I repeat my false-ed opinion on that matter.
You go with what you know. I mean,
so if you think people might start seeing it coming at this rate? Especially seeing as you're going for the face itself.
Well, you know, what you do is you flip out the knife and you hold it palm up in your hands, and you hold, you know, your hand just real smooth, and it, you engage them and talk about a couple feet away, and phoom.
Does anybody know how to kick in map tools?
I assume because you're running the server, you should be able to.
Yeah, I should, but I don't know what the command is. Let's see.
But since you come up and talk to me, I say, so the other voice that controls the robots is Mrs. Ellard?
Probably. It's either her or the daughter. Maybe Renwick.
Yes, well, you are assuming this, but I agree that is most likely.
Yeah.
Since our voices can become voice patterns, might he be able to work out a way of making the voice pattern become a voice?
Difficult, because it's...
Okay, we've got him and Drina. Between the two of them, they're geniuses.
Yeah.
I'll just point this out. Yes. We've got two mechanical geniuses here.
Right, but not necessarily sound engineer geniuses.
He can work on it. It's reverse engineering the waveform to a voice is not something he's played with before, but yes, it's certainly a good idea to try. He can be working on it if you want to bring that up.
It's probably more...
you are disconnected now.
It's probably more if Marlo brings it up than me because I'm busy doing stuff. I suggest it, and he can do his own thing.
Yeah.
And Mr. Merrick, I think that... you ought to just go and get your voice print taken as well to make sure that you are cleared of all charges at the moment. Regarding this matter, at least. I guess we all under.
I would suggest you don't do that.
If it becomes an issue later, we'll bring it up then. Otherwise, for now, yeah. I'd rather not have my voice print recorded.
Exactly. I agree with that sentiment exactly. There's no reason for him to have his voice print recorded.
You seem a little suspicious, but fair enough.
Okay.
Suspicious? Us? Never.
I don't know what you're talking about. I call it staying alive. I think is the proper term for it. Now, what... Okay, what time is it?
Let's see. That all happened fairly late. It's getting towards morning.
Whoa, what? I've lost the day?
Well, we'll say about 2 a.m. This all happened. Crap. Yeah, this all happened late in the day. Before
no,
you did it first.
I'm asleep here. What are you doing in my room? Get out!
I apologize. I'm sleepwalking.
Well, we'll say it's late that evening. Then
I go to bed.
Yeah.
I've had a couple really long days.
I should seriously think about making a film called "The Day in the Life of a PC."
Okay, so, next morning I get up and I'm going to go and search the trail that we had pointed out earlier. I invite Von Hundegaard and Jerry if he's willing to come, but...
That sounds very difficult to get through that terrain.
It does, but, I mean...
Have fun with that.
Okay.
What I would like to do is talk to Ward and get a, if, you know, as part of the breaking and just get a better layout of the plans and stuff. Whoever broke in obviously had some idea of what was going on. So I'd like to talk to him about what sort of information and sort of get an idea about what exactly the layout of the internals are and stuff. So from the point of view of hacking, I know where to go and what to hack.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. And Hundergart, are you going to be with either one of those, or are you going on your own agenda as well?
Yeah, well, it's either a toss-up between I go with Marlo or that I record everyone's voices. Is Marlo insisting that I go along with him?
Absolutely not. It's up to you. I would, if you want to record voices, breakfast is an awesome time to catch all the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought that might be a good opportunity with one of our communal meals. When that is done, I guess I can try and find you on this trail.
I would prefer you not, because I'm going to be sneaky.
I see. In which case, it is probably best that I do not interfere with your being sneaky.
So one PC would go off by themselves into the middle of the bush.
Yep.
Woohoo!
At least he's the one with the highest.
Good luck with that.
No problem.
I'm pretty sure you're the one with the highest survival, though, so. But do you have.
He'll just stab them if they
no,
get in the way.
No, shoot, I don't have survival. What are you talking about?
Oh, dear.
I've lived in a city for the past 5 years.
And that whole time at war in the jungle was just a blur. He doesn't really remember much.
Yeah, I really
think that I want to go with you. I think at this rate, I should go with you for your own safety.
I remember stabbing. And the stabbing, and the more stabbing, and the gunfire.
And the sneaking before the stabbing.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Hmm. Now, the more important question is, have you ever had a reason to be able to sit horseback? Because otherwise, you've got a long walk.
Nah, I mean, I don't see a reason for my character to have ever, you know.
Eaten horse, maybe. Ridden one, probably
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Yes. The electric cars, the golf cart sort of things that they have, will not go that far. There's not enough of a charge. So it's horseback or walking.
If you yeah, I figured
that. Your idea, if you would try to ride a horseback, it's basically an empathy roll.
yeah, I could.
Empathy?
Yeah, I could go with, I'll go with an empathy roll for the horse.
Sure. Ben will show you the basics of the horses. He said they're all of good temperament. You know, basically, you know, pull your reins here to get them to go forward, do this, do that. But now let's see if you can bond with the horse.
I got a 3.
Okay. Well, the horse seems to accept you well enough, and with Ben's assistance, you're able to learn quickly how to sit a saddle, etc.
I shall nickname you Glue. Come
Ben,
Glue.
Ben hands you some sugar cubes and says, you know, if the horse starts acting up or won't follow your instructions, feed him one of these. He should be a little bit more docile.
Right. And I pack a lunch and food and yeah.
You know, for the recording, if all you wanted to do was just record people at breakfast, I could do that. I'm having breakfast. I'm not skipping breakfast yeah. like you.
You could you're skipping breakfast there.
No, I got no reason to skip
breakfast. Right. So you can still get all your right. recordings done.
Yes, in which case I'll get all my recordings and talk to people there. And mm-hmm. I have a few ideas on what I can talk to each person about. So I've got reason for the conversations. And then I can, seeing as I actually have survival, I may be of use to Mr. Marlow.
Yes. Okay. I would like you to either make a deceit roll, just to see if people are wondering, you know, if you're acting kind of oddly as you're trying to record them.
Go, Christmas.
Oh!
Spending a point.
Oh, dear.
Well,
why are you got a microphone in my face?
Why are you asking me to talk directly into your pants?
There goes my first point of the evening. I'm down to 4. Okay, I am spending that on courtly manner.
Ah, yes.
That seems like a good one for tonight.
Yes.
Okay, that's a 0, and I'll spend a second point after that one for kind and careful. That gives me a 2.
Okay, you can stop at a 2 if you want. You're just trying to not look like you're this is too contrived is all you're going for.
I suppose I could also use my empathy, could I? You know, tell me about your problems being my speciality.
Sure, that's fine. I tell you what, make an empathy roll just by itself. I'm going to do this as an additive. I didn't think,
well, that's a 4, and my specialization adds a 2. So that's 6 in total.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that's a good positive roll. I'm going to add 2 more to your deceit roll, so you're going to end up with a 4, which you know, no one really seems anything out of the ordinary. You make a pleasant conversation at breakfast. Everyone is actually down for breakfast. It's one of the few meals that everyone seems to come down for, because it's only served during a certain time in the morning. Otherwise, you've got to scavenge for yourself. And it's always usually pleasant. The cook does his best to make some incredibly good pastries. The coffee and the teas are excellent. It's something that very few people staying here miss in the mornings.
I may miss this cuisine when I leave, but did I manage to get everyone?
You actually do are able to get everyone, including Etain, who you do notice does have a fairly high feminine voice.
Then I shall hand over the device as I am going out the door to... either Mr. Ward or our inventor.
It will be Ben, as Allard has been apparently never left the the lab last night.
As I thought.
People did mention the strange flickerings of the lighting system last night.
It was Frankenstein.
Please ensure that your shoes have at least one layer of rubber on them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We all know science never goes wrong.
All right.
It's alive.
And Mr. Hundegaart, I would also like you to make an empathy roll to see if your horse decides to like you or not.
Ay, Snai. I've always been bad with horses, but that's a 2 anyway.
Okay, good enough. It's a little skittish with you, but it seems to accept you. You're also handed some sugar cubes in a bag and told if the horse acts out, feed him one of these, it'll be more inclined to listen to you.
Do not worry, I'm used to horses from back in Germany.
Glue number 2.
And yes, Jameis, this morning Drina will be at breakfast with everybody, but then she is going to...
A long walk outside, yes, she may be sometime.
It's going to take a long walk, not necessarily accompanied by a journey in a submarine.
Bound, chica, bound, bound.
Just before we... she's gone for good. We did get all our stuff out of the submarine first, did we not?
Whoa, why would we have done that?
If you wish.
I thought that was something I wanted to do at least. At least I wanted to get some of my effects out of there.
Before or after the wandering off into the bush alone?
Before. I thought we had already caught in the submarine.
Then you may want to go with her and then just sort of go wander off after that.
Yeah.
I thought we were... already caught in the submarine, but
you would have had the chance already to pull stuff off board if you would have liked to. We'll leave that up to you. That is fine.
Would the electric guns work here? The electric taser guns?
They don't.
They don't. There's no broadcast electricity on the island.
I don't know that.
Nothing to get off because then that's the thing I had.
I have something to get off.
You could charge them and get a few shots out of them. It will shoot about 3 to 4 times before it's discharged completely.
All right, I'll do that then. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I don't have an illegal firearm. And so I just have the stun guns.
Yes. It feels good to have my sword.
And I have my normal I'm going to murder someone kit with me.
Right. The murdering kit.
Yes.
Trademarked.
Ting.
Perfect gift for any family event.
I find it is. Alright. And we go out and we check the
train. You are off. You are packed a picnic lunch by the waitstaff, which does include a bottle of wine.
I
should set that aside for afterwards.
No, I give that back.
The cooks look at you as like, but monsieur, your lunch comprises of many cheeses and breads. You will need the wine.
I'm a teetotaler.
Oh, very well. They pack.
I take a hit from my flask. And then, wine. Sissy drink. Anyways.
I do not drink wine.
I drink Jack Daniels. That's right, Jack Daniels whiskey. Take the paint off your walls. All right, and we go out.
Sure. And meantime, Jameis, you were going to ask Ben about... Yeah. So you corner Ben. He takes you into his office.
Yeah, if it seems like whoever is been getting into this place has a fairly good idea about what exactly the layout of the place is, so I was wanting to get a similar idea. And if you have any good maps of the caves and such around the area... Mr. Allard said that he blocked off caves, but which would be nearby that they could drill from, for example? Just well, covering bases.
The one is easy enough. He pulls out a map of the island. You've already viewed one similar. And he pulls out one of the mansion itself. The caves, we've explored some, and he rifles through and has some maps of that. But to be honest, there's another person here that would know better about the caves.
Until we are sure about him, let us not bring further people into this discussion.
But if it does come to that, I do understand that he's quite an explorer and cartographer, and he has been making extensive maps of this island.
Well, once we are sure that he has not been making them for other reasons...
Of course.
You understand that paranoia is... not exactly an ill-advised option at this point.
Mm-hmm. One of the maps of the mansion that you get, you haven't seen before. This is one that is basically a wiring schematic of the area. And you do notice something interesting. Actually, give me an investigation roll.
Oh, stink. That's not too bad. It's only fair.
What's your total?
Two.
Two, okay. Well, that's still good enough to notice that there are access hatches that run through the mansion where wiring is so that if something happens to the wiring, it can be gotten to, repaired, etc. And it runs through like the back area of most all of the rooms.
Hmm.
Given
when was the wiring last inspected?
Pulls out a log and says, we have monthly inspections. Of course, if anything goes wrong, we'll have, actually, this is interesting. Outside of the normal routine, we had a request by Miss Allard that she was having some problems with the electrical in these two rooms here. One of the rooms is where the Mr. Attain is staying in currently. And the other room is, her own basically her workshop, which is where she plays music and does her other hobbies. She had put in a work order for these two areas outside of schedule.
And can I see the names of Tibet? Can I see the names of the people involved?
Yeah, he has the work order includes the technician who did the work. It was the same man.
Same one also does the inspections?
No, actually, this is a different worker. The inspections are usually done by our head of staff here. He gives you his name. But this man who did the work for Miss Allard, no, he's never been on the normal rotation.
Yet he was allowed access into the wiring of the mansion.
Well, he's cleared. He is part of that staff. His certifications show that he does have the... skills for it, and he is on the list here, and he gives you the guy's file. He's been on the island for several years.
Still, as you may come to understand, I am being very paranoid here.
It could simply have been that the person who would normally do this was, he looks through, yes, he was on vacation during this week.
That explains it, I'm sure. Still, it might be an idea to give another inspection to certain areas. Before too much longer.
Mm-hmm. And as he's rifling through the papers, he does say, actually looks like the next monthly inspection is due in about a week, so it hasn't actually been inspected again since then.
Right. Is it possible to access these areas without going through the rooms themselves?
Oh, yes. He points out on the map, this is the maintenance closet. There is a hatch with a ladder built into it. He moves his finger up. He goes through all the layers of the house. Of course, it doesn't go into Mr. Allard's lab. And you can access the this passage where all the wirings go through from this ladder without having to enter any of the rooms.
Well, as obvious as it may seem, that seems like this is a course of action which we should endeavor to undertake.
Certainly. We'll need headlamps. The areas in the crossplace aren't lit. Should we inform the master of the house, the electrician who's involved in this, or not?
Not yet, I feel, in case we... It would be best not to alert too many people to what we're doing.
Okay, just yourself then and myself, okay? He goes into an equipment...
Certainly, I'm sure there's no... If you were found to be doing this, there's no... No one would be able to question your involvement in the matter.
Of course. He pulls a headlamp off of, like a carbide headlamp off of his desk behind him, hands you one, shows you how to use it real quick if you've never used one before, and some thick gloves and some boots, just in case. So we wouldn't want to be shocked going through there. This will insulate us. Yes, that's fine, James. Craft repairs, yeah.
Yeah, but just a single level of it. Yeah, that's all you need, a single level. Nothing,
well, yeah,
nothing complicated.
Yeah, it's well, it's not complicated to use what he's handing you. No, that's...
No. If we come across anything.
Oh, yes, yeah.
A single point will be all we need.
That's all you need, right?
Okay. What happens if you touch these two wires together? Kaboom! Oh.
It was zoom out to an aerial view of the island as the mansion explodes.
Well, my job here is done. Time to go away.
All right, JMC, so you guys are on your way to the electrical closet, yep. And I'm going to cut scene to the horseback ride.
Away from them?
Quick question, Bert. Yes. Is it near full moon?
Okay, in my notes, the last time I had down was 11 days to full moon. That was before the start of coming to the island. And mm-hmm. Now I've been on the island, I think, 4 days,
mm-hmm.
And five for Mr. Hundegaard. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you're still a few days away from full moon.
Okay. Because we suspect the Nimrods, at least in this area, because there was that first guy who showed up in the middle of the runway for some reason. And there were only three guys down there, but we found all three guys down in the cave, so... He wasn't one of them. So we have suspicions that it's in the area. Shoot. Oh, well. I wish I remembered that I had put that in my notes. Anyways, whatever. Well, we go out there and we start looking for, you know, signs of...
On your way, you do pass several of the guard on horseback as well, who kind of wave you on. Apparently you've been cleared. A few of them do, you know, ride up to you just to get a better look at you and ask, everything going well?
Yes, so far.
Very good. He pulls out a trail map, kind of shows you where you are in regards to this. It says, along your way, you'll pass three basically lean-to shelters. You'll be able to get water, food for the horses, just in case no one told you.
Cigarettes?
The map. Oh, well, he pulls out a pack, and he pulls out a few for himself and hands you the pack.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I put him with my other three packs of cigarettes I have.
You do notice in passing that the cigarettes are French.
You do any time in the French Foreign Legion?
He nods.
Serve around Algeria? I hear it's been a pretty nasty struggle down there for a few years.
No, I'm afraid I didn't do much time in that area. Give me an empathy roll while he's talking. Most of my operations I spent
there we go.
In places I'm not allowed to discuss, you understand.
That'll be two.
A two, okay. Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. You, by the way he's evading where he has been stationed, you get the idea that he was probably Special Forces. Right. They don't like to talk about anywhere they've been. They don't like to be pinpointed where they've actually seen warfare.
Yeah, That's why I asked the question I asked. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever heard of the Ace in the Hold gang? I want to look and see if there's a flash of something in his eyes.
He rolls it over a bit, you know, he repeats it to himself a few times, and he says, shakes his head and says, no.
Okay, and do I believe him?
Yeah, he actually looks like he considered your question before just dismissing it, but it doesn't seem to you like he's hiding anything. It just, he consciously tried to make sure that it didn't mean anything to him before he answered. No.
All right, I appreciate that. I take off one of my suspicions as being erroneous. Oh, that's interesting.
So far.
Yes. Yes, so far.
Just I bid you a good day, then. He salutes you, and
I salute.
So did you just mention Ace and the Hulk to some random stranger you've come across, as opposed to giving away secrets to people that we actually know for a while?
Yep. Well, it's an interesting test, because I was trying to see if the Tigers had a close association with the Ace in the Hole.
And I didn't actually know who you were talking to, because I was...
Yeah, it was just a random Tiger soldier who happened to be French. Okay. So, I just, as a...
You know, so he's genetically modified, right.
Mm-hmm. Do I see any signs of that?
No. But most of the times they only modify like their frontline combatants. This guy was probably in the sneaky brigade. He may have heightened senses. Likely he's probably got something to help agility, but he was not have anything that's obvious.
Okay.
But interesting. Yeah, nothing you could tell despite on a physical inspection of what you're seeing anyway.
How about an autopsy? No. Okay.
With his eyes.
Yep. I want his eyes. They look nice in a little glass pickle jar. It shows you're a man not to be trifled with, I think.
So the roadway that you're on, it is, it's a dirt trail. It has been carefully, the vegetation's been carefully cut back from it. It looks like it does get a lot of attention. It runs north-south across the island. You eventually come to a less well-kept trail that runs east-west and more towards the north of it. It's, you know, the trees and the undergrowth is very dense. But this is the trail that you were pointed out, runs east-west, parallels the mountains, and goes off to the far edges of the island, but doesn't go forward anymore. And forward would be where the mountain direction is.
I guess horses don't do well in forests, right?
No, not very well at all.
Yeah. Oh, I was asking
you, though, is one of the lean-to stations where they do have a place for horses to graze, etc. So you could leave your horses there if you wished.
Would you at least tether them to make sure that they do not get away? I doubt anyone back at the house would be happy with us if we lost their horses.
So is that the plan? Are you going to rope off the horses and explore on foot, or do you want to just continue to use your horses and go down, up and down the trail until you notice something that might be a little odd?
The horses would cause too much damage, I think, if we took them with. Hello?
I love that mute button. All right. Could we do a, you know, a quick estimation of what my best guess would be? Just up and down the trail, and then if we don't find anything to...
Well, they do damage footprints and trail markings.
Yeah, and then if we don't find anything, then go
Sounds on good. Foot. Both of you, while you're on horseback, give me investigation rolls. You're at -2, though, because neither of you are familiar with horses. You're doing this on the back, so it's a little jarring.
I should be familiar with horses.
Sweet!
That's in flavor text. So
yes, if your background includes a familiarity, then you're not at the -2. Yes.
No, Glue, what I like most about you is your noses are wet and snuffly.
That's a 3 for me.
That's a 4 for me.
A 4 for you, okay.
With a -2.
Right. What you both notice is, as I said, this trail that runs east to west is relatively, I mean, it's upkept, but not nearly as much as the trail getting here was. So you can kind of tell this is not used very often at all. By the ruts you see in the ground itself, it's probably used with very large hauling cars, maybe to move timber back and forth to one side of the island to the other. And as close as it is to the timber line, you suspect that's probably what you're seeing here, because you do see the dark, like the very deep tire ruts occasionally. Grass is growing in the ruts here and there, so you don't think anything's passed in a while.
Okay, so they set up the camp first, and then they just use it as a drop-off point. They've been doing this for a while. All right, so we tie off the horses, and then on foot.
Mm-hmm.
Towards adventure, tally-ho.
Yes, this is where I want an investigation roll from you, Mr. Marlowe, but a survival roll from Mr. Hundegaard. Yours is going to be at a -2 for Mr. Marlowe. Hundegaard, you can take it at full value.
I have a 3.
I have a 2.
Okay.
And I was thinking I might blow my third chip, but then I'm going to have to start compelling myself after that.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Marlowe, how important is this to us?
Well, if we can discover there the ace in the hole.
Okay. Spending a point for archaeology is a way of life.
All right. You adding a +2 or doing a reroll?
A +2, so that brings me up to a 5.
Very good. Even with your 2, Marlowe, you're able to, you're having flashbacks to cutting through jungle. It's coming back to you.
Charlie's in the water. Charlie's in the water.
Right. So you're feeling a little paranoid. As a matter of fact, this is a good place for me to be able to tap one of your, let's see, what have you got to tap here? Is your character sheet an obsidian up to date?
Yeah.
I forgot to do this on half time. I should have gotten this at the beginning. I forgot to apologize.
No problem.
There he is. Mr. Marlowe, what can we offer as a...
evil son of a...
All right, I'm going to tap the color has long since gone out of your life as you're having flashbacks to the time you spent in a very similar environment. Your friends were dying around you, and every little bit of joy that you've ever experienced in your life has just been expunged.
All right, and I'll accept that bribe. And
what this is going to do is going to make you increasingly paranoid. I'm going to say you're going to have -1 to your rolls, every roll, while you're in here, as you're just jumping at shadows and movement, etc. But you may take a fate point for it if you accept the compel.
I accept the compel.
All right. And Mr. Hundegaard, you are noticing that your companion is increasingly getting edgy.
Quiet.
It's all right to kill him. Just so you know that, Hundegaard, it's all right to kill him.
We don't know who's around. It might be
empathy, and I shall now pose the question for me, Mr. Marlowe.
No. Shh. They might. You don't know where they are. Come here. I get him close enough where we're whispering so softly. Mm-hmm. Oh, so softly.
Mr. Hundegaard, something that you notice, though, as he's calling you in to to talk closer to him. Someone has made a... yes, Jameis, a player can compel another player, although you don't get a chip for it. I give the chip.
I was just wondering.
Yes, you can. What, Mr. Hundegaard, you notice that someone has made a very concentrated effort to disguise trails as you're looking through here. It wasn't readily apparent when you first came into the bush, but now that you're in a little bit, you can tell where people have artfully moved tree limbs to cover broken paths, have encouraged things to grow over places. Very artfully done, very well done, but you've seen these signs before, as Aboriginal tribesmen have been using them to cover the ways to their hidden temples so that you may not plunder it.
I am not the tomb robber.
I'm not accusing you of being a tomb robber. You need to bring it down a couple notches there, Bubba.
Sorry. Next time I'm gonna have to do that as my next aspect. I am not a tomb robber. No.
I would be compelling you on that all the time.
Mr. Marlowe?
No. Quiet.
Shh. Look down. As I point down to the obvious signs which he is about to step upon.
Yes. Have I stepped on a landmine?
Barry, you're about to ruin the trail.
Oh. Okay. Well, why don't you take point and I'll take drag. And, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. That way, you can cover my back. Because I know I can trust you. Seeing as one of the methods of empathy is to go along with them to allay their fears, otherwise you may agitate their state even worse.
We'll play to their fantasy and deepen it.
Well, yes, but for now I just want to make sure they don't start flipping out and stabbing trees.
I'm not going to stab the trees. Calm. I'm calm. It's just that we don't know who's here, and they might be they might be in the trees. All right, so calmly and quietly.
I don't suppose I could actually give an empathy roll just to try and stop him.
Calmly.
Yeah.
If you wish to enter social combat with Mr.
Yes, I would like to do that. Could I actually get to the point where I counteract the craziness?
I have my killing knife out, by the way.
Yeah.
In which case, I definitely want to enter into social combat if he agrees.
Yeah, if he agrees, I mean, that's fine. I mean, if he... what'll happen is you're still going to have the minus one, but you will be less crazy.
I firmly say that my character's not crazy, and instead is suitably paranoid about his surroundings. And this is not the time. We can engage in it. I mean, let's just move on because that'll slow down the game.
Yeah, sure. They will just be thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, in which case I shall follow the trail as best I can and make sure that he is not starting to flip out and strangle small animals.
Your jungle time has allowed you to find the telltale signs of a trail being hidden, but I'd like you to make an investigation roll now, the both of you, to see if you can actually follow the trail. And of course, Mr. Marlowe, you're at a minus one.
Right.
That's a five for me.
That'd be a two for me.
All right. The five, definitely, you're able to follow the trail. It is like almost a game trail. It's very thin, but it does seem to be heading towards the mountain, and you're able to pick it up. You do notice here and there things have been laid across the trail to kind of disguise it, but none of it is very much of an impediment at all once you kind of see how it was set up. You do follow it for a good mile or so, and the trail does start to widen up and become an easier trail the further in you get until you come to the base of the mountain ridge that you've seen on the map. And the trail, actually, there's a kind of a fold in the ridge line where there is a very easy path up the side of the rock hill. To either side of this path, the mountains is really craggy. This is just kind of a natural fold that was protected from the elements and making a very nice trail right up the side of the mountain. It's something that you definitely wouldn't be able to see from the air.
I think we have a lead to follow. Do you wish we go and explore it now, or do you think we should leave it?
Keep a lookout for tripwires. They like to leave tripwires behind.
Ah, that is very yes, good this advice. Actually, I would like you both to make alertness rolls. And Mr. Marlowe, seeing as you're highly paranoid, I'm going to give you a plus two to this roll, actually, since you brought it up.
What you see might not be tripwires.
It's Charlie in the trees. That'd be a five.
Nice. And how did you do, Mr. Aldrich?
Just a one.
Just a one. Okay. Marlowe, Mr. Hundred Guard's about to step onto the trail, and you notice right before he's puts foot down on something that the rock looks odd. There's something wrong with that rock he's about to step on.
If I can, I will grab the scruff of his neck and pull him down.
Yes, so you rolled high enough that you had noticed it before he's made a...
And after I pull him down, I say, there are traps. Traps everywhere. It's in your soul now. And I just take a look at the rock and see what I see.
Okay. The rock looks it looks different than the rock around it. It looks like it was very much placed right in the middle of the trail. It's about the size of about twice the size of your fist, you know, and it's placed so that you would naturally step on it if you were coming or going from this trail.
Is it landmine size or, I mean, do they even have landmines in this universe?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's pretty nasty to leave a landmine here. You could never crawl your way back. You would die. Wow. How about I take point from now on? And,
Yes, I can see to your military experience.
So far, 100 Guard, all you're seeing is he's staring at this rock. He actually hasn't, you know, moved it or anything, and he's telling you.
It appears to be a rock.
It might be a landmine, might be a...
Actually, that is true. That is true, Mr. Hundegaard. If you'd like to give me a roll for that, under your archaeology,
that's
it's a knowledge roll.
Oh, in which case, that's a 5.
Yeah, the rock actually is out of place. It's the wrong type of rock for this environment.
Good Lord. You're right. It shouldn't be here at all.
Yeah, let's not touch it.
That's sedimentary.
Yes, we'll... slowly and quietly and carefully from now on pick our way up, and we're going to be stealthing from now on.
I see. In which case, right. Yes, I concede to your military experience.
So you're now taking point, and you're both trying to do this quietly. Yeah. Both of you give me stealth rolls. You're only as good as the first roll. Just keep that in mind.
That would give me a 3.
And I think I have a 1, because I don't think I ever bought stealth.
Oh, wow. How about you stick here? And all.
Well, let's see how he rolls first, because if he actually rolls well, you won't notice that he's actually doing poorly.
He got a 1.
Oh, I didn't see him. Oh, well, I mean, a 1 is still passable.
I can spend another point, but I can tell we're probably going to end up getting into a fight at some point. Yeah. Well, this is a new scene, so kind and careful for a +2.
Okay. Yeah, if you just take it as a +2, he's actually doing pretty well.
All right.
It is now 9:30. Let's take a 5-minute break so I can start a new recording.